This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob Cordaro Show Podcast, WILK News Radio.
Great, good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful Thursday, March 13th, 2025. This is the Bob Cordaro Show. I am he, broadcasting today from the United States of America. I can prove it. We have leaders who actually care about America. And it's the place where the brave, like the veterans we honor today, courtesy of John Basiliga, Basiliga Hospitality, like George Elko, Mountaintop, Gerald Lynch, New Milford, Thomas Murphy, South Scranton, Michael Foley, Madison Township, Robert Ozak, Duryea, Ted Heaps of Millville, and Michael Yevich of Honesdale. Veterans we've lost, but who we celebrate today. The United States of America, founded with a certain knowledge and understanding by our incredible founding fathers, that the government is not, shall not be, cannot be our parent, our guide, our salvation, our direction. Not any of these things, but is nothing more than a necessary evil we require to organize and protect society. The United States of America, the country where, for the first time in human history, freedom was declared to be an unalienable right granted to each individual by God. It was not something that could be parceled out to groups. Freedom was not something that could be controlled by government or government officials. Our great American Constitution ensures and codifies freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, economic freedom, and freedom of the press, whether they repeat lies, whether they're left-wing lunatics, it doesn't matter. They're free to do it. Now, armed with these freedoms, and only because they had them, a ragtag bunch of immigrants, rejects, and their progeny created the richest, most powerful, most culturally diverse and accepting nation ever to grace our planet Earth. America, the only place specifically invented and designed so that every American can live their life in the manner they choose, unlimited by their background, upbringing, race, color, or creed, unhindered by the government or those who would use government to control others for their own comfort, benefit, or power. This Bob Cordaro Show will always be convincingly conservative, lovingly logical, proudly and passionately patriotic, and reliably right. And with that essential preamble dealt with, we can gavel to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense, promising all of you a sanctuary of sanity in a sea of insanity led by our own, and this is crazy, it's led by our own Democrat Party. We have a commitment to common sense in this program. And for those Democrat friends we have, and there are many, 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 many of you listening, we ask you, well, we exhort you. You don't have to change your party. You have to change your party. Okay? So that's what it is. I looked at a bunch of news things, and you guys send me so many things. Plus, we have some people in a more organized fashion who send research. And we sort of came up with a five to follow. But we're breaking rank here today. We don't do interviews now, but Senator Dave McCormick wanted to check in with us, and I said, done. I was just listening to an interview he had, and here he is, Senator Dave McCormick, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Welcome, Senator. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, my friend?
Well, all's well on this end. I'm relieved that nothing crazy happens overnight. You know, there's not some left-wing insanity occurring.
It is unbelievable. I was just saying that there's, obviously some moderate Democrats that are being put in an increasingly difficult position, because you look at that address to Congress, the joint address to Congress, and you see the Democratic Party not being able to stand up and clap for a kid that survived cancer that gets, gets his appointment on behalf of the president to the Secret Service, or a young man who gets accepted to West Point.
It was an absolutely beautiful moment. Oh.
Of course, Corey Compatore.
I thought Steve Miller was doing the speeches again. It was that good.
It was so good. Corey Compatore, who I was there at Butler when he was killed, and his widow there, Mark Fogle, a prisoner in Russia. I was there in the White House when he came back and was released 22 days in the Trump administration. These are stories that are, they transcend party. This is the great American story right here, right in front of people. And the Democrats sit there with their, pink shirts and their little signs. Absolute madness. And the reason I start with that, that's reflective of where they are. These are 80-20 issues. It's 80-20 issue to stop the border and stop the flow of fentanyl. It's an 80-20 issue that biological men shouldn't be competing in women's sports. And yet the Democratic Party cannot get out of its own way. And so for your listeners who are Democrats, I say to them, I ran to represent every single Pennsylvanian, and I'm working hard right now to make sure we put the policies in place to close the border and to get inflation under control and unlock energy. And that's good for all of Pennsylvania. And this Democratic Party's just lost its way.
I mean, another 80-20 issue, at least I hope it is, you've got Mahmoud Khalil, this rabble-rouser on a visa, and the Democrats are fighting like cats and dogs to keep him in this country. That's just insane.
This is not a First Amendment issue, because the visas are granted as a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to come to the United States under a certain agreement. And that certain agreement does not permit violent speech, inciting violence, the exact things that happened at Columbia that this man was part of. So this is Marco Rubio and I, during the campaign, wrote an op-ed, and we basically said, listen, these people that are on visas that are protesting and spewing this anti-Semitic hatred and encouraging violence, send them home. Arrest them and send them home. And that's exactly what they're doing right now, and I couldn't support it more.
Senator Dave McCormick, our Commonwealth's newest junior senator, is with us on the Bob Cadaro Show. Senator, here's just something that I wondered. One of the things that people, it's underreported, it's not generally viewed, but you find in a body, particularly like the U.S. Senate, you become very close very quickly with people whose ideology you couldn't disagree with more, in this case, Democrats. So have you struck up, without naming names, have you struck up friendships where they tell you, we're really going crazy, we're going off the deep end? They'll confide in you and tell you, we really are losing it here, but I got to go with it.
Well, the relationship that I've had a chance to develop is with Senator Fetterman. He lives a couple miles away from me. He lives in Braddock. I live in Pittsburgh in Squirrel Hill, and we've hit it off, and we agree on Israel and anti-Semitism. We agree on the need to bring manufacturing jobs home. He's a supporter of fracking. So, there's a lot we agree on, but there's a lot we disagree on, and I don't think I'm divulging any sensitivities, because he said this publicly. I think he thinks that his party has moved, radically to the left, and he's spoken out, I think, with a lot of courage against that. And he said
hasn't voted against it yet.
Well, he's voted. No, well, in
he's
some ways,
spoken
way, he
out
has,
against
you know,
it, not voted yet.
Well, in fairness, you know, he was the Democrat that supported. He didn't support all of President Trump's nominees, but he supported a lot of them. He said very publicly, "Listen, the president won." He was opposed to the way and said publicly the way the Democrats handled the address to Congress. He co-sponsored the Lake and Riley bill, which was passed. And yesterday, I released my first bill.
Yeah,
which
I want to
fentanyl
talk about
bill.
That.
Yeah, yeah, us, a fentanyl bill, and my co-sponsor was Fetterman. My co-sponsor was Fetterman. So it's a bipartisan bill. And so listen, there's a progressive ideology, a socialist ideology that in my opinion, was well on the way to destroying our country. And so I'm certainly going to have my disagreements with much, if not most, of the Democrats' policies. But where there's a chance to work together on behalf of Pennsylvania, I'm going to do it. And that's what I've been able to do so far with Senator Fetterman.
Senator McCormick, we knew that you would hit the ground running just because of your experiences. It doesn't matter if it was combat veteran, West Point, international business guy, all of that, entrepreneur on top of that. Do you feel like you've got you're actually running? You're in the middle of the mix. You're making things happen. Again, laying that, putting that bill up that you co-wrote and that you sponsored. One indication. Do you feel like you've got your sea legs as a senator?
Well, I'm learning every day. It's a whole new world. And to be honest with you, there's so much here that doesn't make sense. That, you know, if you're a business person, yeah, if you're an outsider, yeah, right? I mean, Bob, good God. Yeah. And the fact that we're talking about shutting down the government, or the fact we haven't had a budget for years, or the fact that many of these programs are spiraling out of control, the fact that we have $35 trillion of debt. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So, there's a lot about it that doesn't make sense. And the key here, I think, is to not let yourself get captured, you know, not sort of become part of the in the effort. You know, well-meaning people want to solve the problem. And, if they don't pay attention, they become part of the problem. So I'm very conscious of that. I try very hard. And so far, I've been very successful to be back in Pennsylvania every weekend. As I said on the campaign trail, I'm going to term limit myself to 2 terms. I'll support legislation. In fact, I'm going to introduce legislation on that. I don't want to become part of the problem. And so you got to have, I think, both a warrior's mindset and an outsider's mindset. This is why I have a lot of respect for President Trump. I think he has a warrior's mindset and an outsider's mindset. And that's why when you take on the establishment, when you take on Doge as an example to rein in the bureaucracy, you know, it's a fight. And there's lots of pressure to not disrupt. But the American people want and deserve disruption. So I would say that I'm early in terms of understanding how things work, but I'm committed to trying to be a very disruptive force on behalf of Pennsylvanians. And I got a whiteboard in my office. My office is in the basement of Dirksen. I'm in temporary offices. And I got a whiteboard which has my top 10 promises. And every day when I come in, I look at those top 10 promises and I say, okay, what are we doing on that? What are we doing on this? That's the mindset I think you've got to have to change Washington. And we're in the early days, but off to a good start.
Senator Dave McCormick, tell us, you're an international business guy. I mean, you saw it from all sides, investing around the world. This massive disadvantage that the United States allowed us itself to be part of in terms of trade.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people nervous and scared about the tariffs and the back and forth and the stopping, starting nature of it all. But where do you stand on the tariff policies of this administration?
Well, listen, first of all, the tariffs are going to create some uncertainty, and President Trump campaigned on this. That the beauty of what he's doing is every single thing he's doing, he said he was going to do. So there should be no surprises. I sat in front of 200 or 300 CEOs yesterday, and I started by saying, listen, I'm going to talk about tariffs, but let me start by saying this. If you're a business person, if you're a consumer, here's what you should feel very certain about and very excited about. Number one, deregulation. There's a huge deregulation agenda. We haven't seen this kind of deregulation since Ronald Reagan. That's one. Two, a energy revolution. Energy dominance. We're going to unlock energy. That's huge for our economy, huge for Pennsylvania. Three, already since President Trump came into office, $2 trillion of new investment from Apple, Taiwan Semiconductor, Eli Lilly in the United States, some of that in Pennsylvania. The tax cuts, you know, I feel pretty confident that when we get through this reconciliation process, the Trump tax cuts will be made permanent. So that's all the certainty that's coming. That's all the good. And then the tariffs, I'm very much in favor of the tariffs to deliver on reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Let me put that in layman's terms. We are getting screwed in some countries and some markets. And what reciprocity is, it says we're not going to take that anymore. We're going to make sure that we get a fair deal. If it's aluminum and steel and China or Japan are dumping and subsidizing and it's making an unfair situation for American workers, we're going to fix that. That's what the Trump trade agenda is trying to do. It's going to be uncertain for a while. The nature of negotiations and leverage is you don't tell the other side exactly what you're going to do, but that creates some uncertainty in markets. But I believe that we're on a path to having a great economy. The deflation or inflation numbers yesterday were very encouraging. You know, I see a lot of good signs, but people have to recognize, as President Trump said, this is going to be a little bumpy until we get that trade agenda in place. And listen, we're dealing with a guy in President Trump who's a practical business guy. So if something's not working quite the way we want to, he's going to adjust. And that's how I think he'll handle this vision of reciprocity on tariffs. And it's something I support.
Pennsylvania Senator Dave McCormick is our guest. Final question for you, because I know you have to run. You wrote an op-ed for the Washington Examiner on this Ukraine situation. Summarize that for our audience.
Well, listen, I you know, that was a terrible meeting in the White House with Zelensky. He showed a lack of gratitude. He showed a lack of a grace. But I wrote the op-ed a day or two after that and said, listen, don't let that bad meeting stand in the way of a peace agreement that President Trump has outlined, which is good for America, good for Europe, good for Ukraine, and honestly, I think it's good for Russia, which has lost 700,000 people in this war. And the outline of the agreement is three things. Number one, we got to stop the fighting. We got to have a ceasefire that stops the killing. It's more than a million people dead, hundreds of billions of dollars of damage. Number two, we've got to have the Europeans step up and be the security agreement arrangement support for Ukraine to ensure that Russian aggression, which this was caused by Russian aggression, does not repeat itself. So the Ukrainians have to know that they've got their sovereignty going forward, or they're not going to do a deal. They have every right to have their sovereignty, in my opinion. And the United States, I think, should support that. The Europeans taking on that extra leadership, maybe with some intel and things like that, but shouldn't be the driver of it. Third thing is an economic arrangement. With Ukraine, rare earth metals and other things that helps pay the American taxpayer back for the more than $100 billion they invested in Ukraine. And that creates a great opportunity for Ukraine to develop the industry they're going to need to rebuild their country. And it's a deterrent to Russia having further invasions, because if they do that, they take on the interests of the United States. That deal is a great deal, I think. Not a great deal, but a workable deal for all parties. And I think if anybody can do it, it's President Trump. And what you see now, the Ukrainians have come to the table. The Russians appear to be a little bit reluctant, and Trump's putting the pressure on more sanctions on Russia if they don't come to the table. So, listen, I'm hopeful and optimistic that thing's going to land, and if it does, President Trump will have accomplished something remarkable, and it's a true example of peace through strength.
Senator Dave McCormick, tell us about the final question, continuing resolution. The House passed a bill that You know, some Congress people held their nose and voted for it. You've got that bill over in the Senate now. What I was explaining to the audience yesterday is that there has to be a procedural vote first to for cloture, which requires 60 votes. You've only got 53 Republicans, and Rand Paul's already dropped out. So you got 52 votes. You need 8 Democrats. Do you think you'll get those 8 Democrats to continue?
I'm hopeful and optimistic we will. Here's the reason. This is an extension of an agreement that was already agreed to in December that essentially gives the Congress and the president time to put a budget forward that is consistent with the president's priorities. This continuing resolution was meant to be very clean. It's essentially what was already agreed to with an additional $6 billion for defense. And I think this is back to where we started with the 80-20. Democrats can't help themselves. They keep making huge mistakes. This will be the Schumer shutdown if they move forward on it. And listen, Americans don't want this nonsense. They want to get on with business. And if the federal government steps down, it'll be very disruptive for everybody. It's not a good thing for Republicans. It's a terrible thing for Democrats. It's bad for all Americans. I'm hoping in the final hours here, cooler minds will prevail. But I think Republicans have to stand tough and make the Democrats eat their broccoli here, because this is good for America.
Dave McCormick, do me this favor. When you talk to Chuck Schumer next, tell him reading glasses are for reading. You don't have to wear them 100% of the time to look wise.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Chuck, I'll tell him, but Chuck and I, we're not hanging out much. We're not going on vacation together or anything.
Well, that's good for you.
All right. Bob, good to be with you.
Always a pleasure. Senator Dave McCormick from Pennsylvania. We love you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. Bob Cadaro, WILK. We will return. Our veterans this hour, brought to you by John Basiliga, Basiliga Hospitality. Guys, it's the last weekend before full renovations at the great Queen City Tavern, Main Drag Oliphant. Check it out so you can do a before and after. And he's bringing us our veterans. They include Thomas Murph Murphy. He was from South Scranton. Passed away earlier this year, surrounded by his loving family. His devoted wife of 52 years, the former Diana Springer, was by his side. They'd married in 1972. He grew up in South Scranton, graduated from Scranton Technical High School, the great Scranton Tech. He dedicated 57 years of his life to his craft as a member of the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers, Local 5, where he worked as a skilled mason. Proud veteran of the Pennsylvania National Guard, recognized as a sharpshooter during his service. He was an avid third baseman in both slow pitch and modified softball. He loved Genesee beer and time spent at the corner bar. Fierce protector of his family. Leaves behind a legacy of love and laughter that will be deeply missed. In addition to his wife, he's survived by his daughters and other family members. Thomas Murph Murphy. Robert Ozak. He was from Duryea, just 69 when he passed January 1. He was born in Scranton. Graduate of Riverside High School, class of 74. He then joined the U.S. Army and served with the legendary 82nd Airborne during the Vietnam War. He retired from Northeast Envelope, that great company, after many years of dedicated service. He was an avid pool player, a proud member of the American Pool Players Association. He was preceded tragically in death by his son, Bobby. Survived by a daughter and a granddaughter. and siblings and other family members. Robert Ozak. Michael Foley. He was 81 when he passed January 5. He was from Madison Township. He was 81 years old. Born in Blue Point, Long Island. He graduated high school and then immediately joined the United States Marine Corps. And before retiring, he worked as a chief in the New York City area, chief of police. Always giving back to his community, he volunteered for SCOLA at United Neighborhood Centers and Lackawanna Blind Association. He loved the outdoors, gardening, all of that. He forgot very little and could command facts at the snap of a finger. In addition to his wife, Esther, who survives him, a daughter, a stepson, grandchildren, and step-grandchildren, Michael Foley, our great veterans this hour, brought to you by the Queen City Tavern, John Basiliga and the Basiliga Hospitality Group. Get up there before they go into full renovation mode on the 18th. Check it out. You'll see the before and after in a few weeks. Storm Tracker 16 forecast from our friend meteorologist Joe Snedeker. Today, partly sunny. It could get up to about 55. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to 35. And then it gets nice. Friday becoming mostly sunny, 60. Saturday, mainly cloudy. Chance of late day showers, but nevertheless, 63 degrees. And then Sunday, cloudy with rain likely, maybe even a thunderstorm. That would actually be a welcome sound. 67 is the predicted temperature on Sunday. So we're back. I'll tell you what, I love Dave McCormick. I really do. And I don't know, I just enjoy what he's straightforward, he's eloquent. His list of accomplishments, which demonstrate his ability, it's off the charts. I know one of the most talented people to ever run for United States Senate, not just in Pennsylvania. And we did the right thing there. We really did as voters, getting him in. So I talked a little bit. By the way, you could reach me, 570-883-0098, for either text or by calling in to talk to me. Let's see, what did Tenor Jim write in? Bob, my father was a coal miner and had black lung. After he retired, I remember him saying, I'm living on borrowed time. Given the debt, the invasion of the illegals, crime, drugs, etc., that's what this country's doing. It's living on borrowed time. All politicians need to wake up and think of their country first. I'm with you on that one, Tenor Jim. There's not very many Democrats that will think that way. Their only thought is to destroy Donald Trump and his supporters. But they've got horrendous leadership. You look at Hakeem Jeffries as their leader in the House, formerly Nancy Pelosi. I mean, these are disgraceful people. Chuck Schumer with the fake reading glasses to make himself look wise, as he spouts lies. They're disgraceful people. And they've got to really restructure their leadership. I will tell you, I may be in the minority here. As he got older, he went off the deep end. That's Mitch McConnell. But he did a lot of solid service for the common good as Senate Majority Leader, particularly in Trump's term. And, by the way, blocking at the end of Obama's term as well, blocking things. So he went south, but he's leaving. And so you look at it and you say, we're getting rid of the dead wood on the Republican side. When will the Democrats get rid of these clowns? Nancy Pelosi's not going anywhere. You have that 82-year-old purple-haired fool, Sanders, AOC. I mean, it's a joke. Rashida Tlaib, the rest of the squad. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not understanding how the Democrats stick with mentally ill people leading them. They're mentally ill. And those that aren't mentally ill have gone off the deep end because they hate Trump so much. They've lost all sense of perspective, all logic. Can't get anywhere with them. They don't make any sense. Well, quickly, I want to do our five to follow today. I want to remind you, we're not going to do much on it because we know the disgraceful mistakes of our permanent leadership class that took place during the coronavirus pandemic. And let's talk about a couple of facts about it. It was a fairly virulent and severe flu. And it had an outsized effect on older people and people with pre-existing conditions of various sorts, including obesity, including diabetes, heart conditions, and so forth. Most, if not all, of the advice and the orders, by the way, that we were given were wrong. They were stupid. They were counterproductive. And they failed. And we shut the entire country down for very little reason. The first month or so, you said, well, you know what? We don't know how bad this is. But once we realized things like, you know, kids in school are just not vulnerable to it. Well, what are you shutting the schools down for? And you could go on and on through the legacy of it. The supposed vaccine was merely a pre-treatment. It wasn't a vaccine. It didn't prevent it. It didn't prevent the spread. It was a pre-treatment which allowed us to stop the madness. You think of mandates and having to bring your vaccine card to go to a restaurant? You think about the stupidity. Let's take Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf, what an idiot. He and Levine, Rachel Levine. Like, you can't go into a restaurant, but if you set up a table that touches the bar, which you can't sit at, then you can sit at the bar. I mean, it was just such stupidity. After 10 o'clock, The virus will spread more. I mean, the whole is, and big box stores can stay open, but small mom and pop businesses cannot. And we could go on and on about this. We had children in charge. We had fools in charge. And they drove us to disgraceful conclusions. The vaccine mandates. It's really crazy. And so that five-year anniversary, it's got to be on our minds. It has to be. Because we can't allow that to happen again. Number two, continued discussions. I brought it up with Dave McCormick. The trade wars that Trump is excitedly entering into. And by the way, justifiably so. Let's just take Japan and rice. Well, back after World War II, we did not want American rice producers to overwhelm Japanese rice producers. So we restricted, through tariffs and other methods, American rice from being imported into Japan. Well, what are we doing this now for? I mean, we're 80 years off of that time. Japan is a prosperous country, and we can't ship rice in there, but they can ship rice to us. It's just, it's there's so many of these things. India, with their Harley-Davidson tax, their car tax, six-figure tariffs. Canada, double six-figure tariffs against, in particular, our dairy products. And, by the way, that's on top of limits. It's crazy stuff. And Trump's trying to straighten out 80 years of policy that we slid into. And these business guys, just like Dave McCormick said, hang in there. Cut it out. There's so many other good things coming your way. Continuation of the tax cuts. Deregulation. Cheaper energy. They will offset whatever short-term pain for long-term gain, I might add, Trump's trade wars will affect. And he exaggerates. It's not going to be how we're supporting our federal government. It's not going to be. But so what? So the tariff war. Number three, Lee Zeldin, who's doing a great job at EPA, he found $20 billion plus that had been blown by the Biden administration that they're trying to force. And now those clowns who were receiving it and stealing from us have found a federal judge to back them up. Let's hope things go the right way. But good job, Lee Zeldin. Back to the border and immigration. Mahmoud Khalil, the rabble-rouser from Syria. Kick him out. Done. It's not about free speech. It's about immigrants behaving badly. And then we also found out, back to the border, that Biden and the Biden administration, oh, what a surprise, they lied about the border numbers. When they would apprehend somebody and then release them, they counted it as an apprehension, but didn't count that they released them into the country. And then finally, number five, the continuing resolution we talked to our guy, Dave McCormick, about. He thinks the Democrats may be released on the procedural side of that vote, and then they could vote against it after the fact, but let it get to the, because the government will shut down. I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way, but the government will shut down 11:59:59 Friday night. A day after the lunar eclipse. We'll take a break and be back. Blue suede shoes, Elvis. Murph says that this date, 1956, Elvis released his self-titled album on RCA Records. And 1964, if you don't, I mean, I don't recall it firsthand. I was only three. But if you're not aware of this Catherine Kitty Genovese situation. She was viciously attacked and stabbed, screaming for help in a New York neighborhood in Queens. And nobody responded, nobody reacted. It's a situation of waiting for everybody else to react. I don't know if anyone called. There wasn't even 911 at the time. I don't know if anybody called the police. We don't. It was just a. It was a sad testimony to life in the cities, and I think it accelerated the flight from cities, that these neighborhoods were no longer cohesive. It was a big deal at the time. Imagine a woman being stabbed ruthlessly and continually, and her cries for help to her neighbors going unanswered. That's what it was, this date in 1964. Elvis was 1956. Let's go as we seek to wrap up the hour. Let's go to Bill from Pittston on Dave McCormick. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Great.
Yeah, I went to see Dave McCormick the first time he ran for Senate, and Ted Cruz was endorsing him, and Cruz was hilarious. But Dave didn't impress me. And but I changed my mind about him after he stepped aside to take one for the team by letting Oz go ahead without contesting him for the nomination. And I thought, this guy's good. And then I got really involved with him this last time. I knocked over 1,000 doors for him. And I got to know his wife, Dina. And I said to her, I'm so glad that Dave didn't get the nomination up against Fetterman, because he really needed to take down Casey. And I think that McCormick really grew in those 4 years, as much as Trump did when he lost to Biden. And I think Dave was a better candidate, and he knew what he wanted, and he took down Casey, which I thought was monumental.
Well, you think about it, Bill, he was a neophyte when he first ran in that primary against Dr. Oz. I frankly didn't care which one won the primary, because if we had Oz and McCormick as our senators, it would really bode well for Pennsylvania. At least we have McCormick. I think he's great. He's real. I've been interviewing him over and over again, and I don't like to do in-studio interviews. But he said, no, Bob, I want to come in. I want to meet you. I want to look at you face-to-face. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's very straightforward for someone of all of his accomplishments and all of the things he's done, whether it's in business or the military or educationally. Man, he's just an impressive, real person.
He's very appreciative of the volunteers. He had a rally for us in Old Forge to personally come out and thank us for working for him. And he said he had to be there. It was right after he got elected. And his wife is not only brilliant, she's very charming. Dina's just like unbelievably charming and intelligent. But yeah, he really appreciates, you know, you feel like this guy is really out there for you. So it makes you want to do more things for him. That's
yeah.
The kind of he's not a politician, he's a statesman.
And you could tell, I mean, in 2 months, he's garnered more respect than senators who've been there for decades, from his fellow senators, from the Washington, whatever you want to call them, establishment. And yet he's not owned by that establishment. He is, he's an independent thinker. By the way, independent of Trump as well. But when Trump says something good, which is almost all the time, he's there. And he'll back him, and he'll not worry about the blowback. Yeah, he's outstanding. You worked for the right guy there, Bill. You really did.
Well, he impressed me. Like you said, I saw how much he grew in those 4 years, and I thought it was monumental to take down that idiot Casey. What a disappointment he was to northeastern Pennsylvania. Mr. Do-Nothing. So I thought it was so great that he beat Casey. And back to Fetterman, I had told you back in October that I thought Fetterman might be the nominee for the presidential election of 2028 for the Democrats. I still think he will, but you were right. He hasn't changed his stripes. He talks one way,
yeah,
but he votes like a left.
And Dave McCormick can't say that, but yeah, he's still a joke. By the way, maybe they'll have Rip Torn, what's his name?
Former Vice President?
The confetti guy, yeah, Walls.
Yeah,
Rip
Walls.
Taylor. Maybe Rip Taylor's going to be the guy.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. What a bench they have on the Dem side.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, you keep working, man. Stay healthy. We need your volunteerism going forward, all right?
All right, you take care.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. We'll take a break because it is time for the news with Brian Hughes. The Bob Cadaro Show rolls on. We've got somebody from the ARC coming on, and they're going to talk to us about individuals with disabilities. It's Developmental Disability Awareness Month, and we've got an interview on that with Katie Foley. We're looking forward to that. We'll do that after the news. It's the Bob Cadaro Show.
WILK News Radio. This is the Bob Cadaro Show podcast.